Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 16, ending in verse 17, where we see that a lot of things in life can pull your attention away from God and distract you from the course God has for your life. Even if you have been distracted or even fallen away from God, He wants to meet you right where you're at today and restore you. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16.
Whatever is being used by the enemy to entice you right now in this season that you're in, it doesn't have to be sexual sin. Profanity is the way that this word is used here in the Greek, it's a very general statement. Anything outside of what's holy, well, that's the whole world system. It could be anything out there. What is it out there? Like maybe you barely made it in. You're not even really, you know, in your mindset, you're not even really in this building right now, but God is starting to try to wake you. The writer's trying to say this to you. Listen, whatever it would be that would keep you from getting back to the course, shake it. You got to shake it this morning. You got to let it go. And it was by one meal that Esau gave it all up. Now watch this. And it's by one meal today that Jesus Christ wants to give it all back. That's profound. Let me say it to you again. One meal, Esau gave it all up. He was all kitchen, no chapel. Fleshly, bodily appetites. I'm going after it. Whatever it is, whatever I want in the moment, I'm going after it. Jewish tradition says that he already had three adulterous affairs before he took that bowl of soup that day. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know from Scripture is that he married a bunch of secular, idolatrous, unbelieving women. And it greatly displeased his parents. It was a joke to him. Sex, pleasure, the world, man, that's what he was after. And he gave it all up. And it ended in bitterness for him. God would say to you this morning, and say to me, one meal, he gave it all up. One meal, I want to do the opposite and give it all back to all of you here today. I want to give you back joy. I want to give you back peace. I want to give you back rest. I want to give you back all the things that you find where? At the foot of the cross. We need to have a healing service right now. We need to come to the Lord's table and sup with him. We need to be cleansed. We got to take a stake and put it in our spiritual ground, if you would, and mark it and say, man, July 20th, 2020, 7-20-20. That was a day for me after months of borderline backsliding. Or let's not even, just call it what it is, backsliding. Because there was a time where I was hotter for Christ than these 4 months. So that's what? That's going backwards. Man, that backslidden season, or that season of indifference, or maybe it's been months since you've read your Bible on your own. You were trying to do it in the beginning of the pandemic, and you just stopped, and it's like anything else that's good for you. When you stop doing it, it's hard to start doing it again. Maybe there hasn't been really much worship in your life, because this is only a flavor of what worship is. I hope everybody knows that. Worship is total surrender to Christ. Worship is me and Jesus, no matter who else is around. So maybe there's been no worship. Maybe you haven't told somebody about Jesus in who knows how long. And I'll tell you something that is super detrimental to your joy. You want something to boost your joy? Get outside of yourself, go serve somebody, and go tell somebody about Jesus. Anybody. I love just organic, natural conversations that the Holy Spirit opens up. I don't go door to door. If you do, that's fine. That's not for me. I don't go door to door. I have. I don't hand out tracts necessarily. I have, but I just like just being out and just talking with people as conversation takes its course. It just happened to me at lunch this past week. This kid kept walking by my table. I was having a meeting, and this kid kept walking by my table outside down in the city, and he kept walking by. He had big earphones on, and he was rapping. He much younger than me, but he was rapping all 90s raps. And that's when I grew, that's from my era. I've been waiting to be able to say something like that. 90s hip hop. That's what I used to listen to. And he's rapping and he's walking by and he kept walking by. So I wasn't even planning to say anything to him. One of the other guys started talking with him. And then he said something in the middle of that conversation that began to take place. He said something that he struggles with that I struggle with. So I just spoke to it. I just started praying when he's speaking, God, give me your tone. I could tell this kid's fatherless. Give me like a fatherly tone. Give me a gentleness and give me a meekness where he realizes I'm not making fun of him, but I'm relating to him. And I was able to say a few things, give him the phone number of the church, the information, and I was able to exchange some words with this guy. And I don't know if anything will come of it, but I know some seeds were planted. So we leave there, and we are on our way back to the office, and we go in to grab a cup of coffee at the place right next door to take back with us here. And there he is again. So I just say to him, hey, you know, let me get you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink. And come to find out, he hadn't eaten or drinking all day. And it's been in this heat, so you could understand. This isn't a story. I'm feeling funny now because I don't want it to come off like I'm trying to tell you my good deeds. What I'm trying to explain is, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I got to back it now with the love of Jesus, right? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Remember Jesus talks about that? Who? The least of these? So I'm thinking, like, I can't just tell this kid certain things or tell him that in the middle of his struggles to call to the name of Jesus without showing him Jesus. And I can just see how stunned he was on his face. I could tell that he wanted to, like, to embrace me. A much bigger dude than me, he was a big guy. I could tell, man, he was getting close to me and just kind of looking at me. And he's like, you don't have to do this. And it was nothing. It's like, I'm just buying you an iced coffee and a pastry. I want to do this. And he was just totally like, why are you doing this? Just totally, he kind of even walked out of the store like looking like, is that it? Like, you're just going to do this? And maybe I'm not going to be the ones who's the harvester in his life. But maybe now somebody else in the city is going to run into him, because apparently this is his thing. He does this a lot. And maybe they're going to tell him about my Jesus. And maybe he's going to say, I kind of like your Jesus. Because somebody else told me, I don't even know the guy's name, but he told me last week. The Lord will follow up. Some water, some give sun. You know how it goes, but the Lord brings the increase. And you want to know what that does? It's like a shot of adrenaline in your arm. It stokes you for the Lord and his kingdom. It takes your mind off the temporal and the worldly and the things that are passing away. And it sets your eyes on eternity. It sets your eyes on why you're even here to begin with, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Hey, church, before we go to the mountain of the Lord, because that's next week, the writer just says this, be careful, sexual sin. It's taken the strongest men and it's broken them down like a piece of bread being crumbled, like a lamb being led to the slaughter. Be careful. Careful. Careful with who you're texting. Careful who you're giving those double looks to. Careful who you're imagining in your heart. Careful. Careful. You still got that old man. You still got that old woman. Grass is greener on the other side, but you get with them, they're going to have the same issues that your spouse has. Breath's going to stink in the morning. And go to the bathroom, it's going to smell. I'm shooting straight. Nothing's going to be different. Still going to be life you got to navigate. When you get past that alluring phase of infatuation, and now you start to be with them, man, it's going to just be like it was with that person, just new sets of problems. And if you're as old as I am or older, then the other person's going to have kids on top of it, which just adds a whole nother mess. It's one thing when it's your kids. It's another thing when it's her kids or his kids. Careful. You young person, be careful. You're not married yet. You're dying to be married. Be careful. God's got somebody for you. He said, seek him first in his kingdom, his righteousness, and everything you need. He'll be added to you. How do I know if he knows that I need this? Because he's the one who made up marriage. How about that? Adam, your imperfection. It's me and it's you and it's the animals and it's food and you got a six pack and you get to walk around without clothes and you got all this imagine, but you still are lacking. You need a helpmate. And what God joins together, let no man tear asunder. I'm going to take it from your side, not a rib, but a blood transfusion, I believe. I'm going to open up your side. I'm going to pull from your blood. I'm going to put together, I'm going to build this woman for you. And you are for her, and you guys are going to complete each other. And then Paul would further illuminate and go like this. It's all a picture of the bride of Christ and their Savior King for the world to see. He's got you. Hang tight. Careful of profanity. If there's any of that that's arisen in your heart, let's repent over it. I'm going to call the team to lead us in a song. Let's repent over it. You guys got the elements under your seat. Let's go through this song. I'll interrupt it with a prayer leading us in the communion. I didn't want you to be dizzy from picking it up in the middle of us getting ready to pray. So I want you to get it now that the blood stopped rushing. It'd be wonderful when we could put our hands in the same tray again or whatever. I don't know when that day's coming. But in the meantime, thank God for prepackaged communion. You guys on the lawn, Pastor Larry and some of his assistants out there will help you get communion. Maybe you want to raise your hand. They'll bring it to you at your seat with a shield over their face and a gown over their body. They'll come right to you. They'll bring it to you at your seat. We want you to partake too. And honestly, if you're at home right now and you feel ripped off and you're thinking, man, I want to partake too, the Lord will honor it. You go to your cupboards, get some saltines, a piece of bread, grab some juice, go back to the couch, go back to the sofa, hang tight. We're going to move through the blessing. Isn't it amazing? Esau was after it, the blessing. But he already had given up on the way to that blessing. He already forfeited that. And on the opposite this morning, God's like this. I want to give it back to you. What he gave up at one meal, I want to give back to you at one meal. I want to wash away all your sins, all your fornicating, all your perversion. I want to, hey, some of you have been troublemakers. Just too straight. You've been antagonizing, and you know it. You've been stirring the pot with the gossip, with the slander, with the hate. God hates discord. It's your chance right now. I don't have to know about it. You don't got to come confess to me. You don't got to tell the pastors or others. You just tell Jesus. But get your heart clean. It's dangerous. You're going to become bitter, and then you're going to be toxic to our fellowship, and there's no patience for that. So check your heart. I'm checking my heart. I want the Lord to break me so he can remake me. I want the Lord to continue to guide me and shape me. So you do the same thing. All these things we've been encouraged in. Where we failed, let's repent. This is our chance. Let's get it back. Let's get back our joy. Let's get back our peace at the foot of the cross, okay? So hang tight. We'll partake in just a minute. Let's sing through this song and let the Lord minister to our hearts. Yeah, we've been waiting to sing that song with you guys in the room. It came out in the middle of everything, and so we're so grateful how awesome it is to have this opportunity to sing it over you as representatives of the Lord and let the Lord sing it to us. What an answer to prayer. And I want to say this before I lead you in the opening, and if you want to get a head start, it took me like 7 minutes to open the top layer to get the bread out. But if you want to peel that first layer back so you can get your bread out while I say this to you, if you're a mom or a dad here, a grandparent-to-be, if all you leave your child after you're gone is something to be settled at your lawyer's office, things that are going to perish, then you've left them nothing. There's something greater than all of that to leave behind, and that's a spiritual blessing, what we're just saying. Upon our children and upon our children's children, I'm trying to set my kids up. I want to have things I can give to them, my daughters, my son, absolutely, and I'm not knocking that. But if that's all that I've left them when I leave, I didn't do my job. If that's all that you leave them when you leave this world, because we're all going to perish from this world, from this side of eternity, we're gonna exit and enter into eternity. And there's something more the text teaches us today than the doubleness of the earthly inheritance. And that's that spiritual blessing of knowing Jesus, so that our kids will be with us in eternity. So their spouses and their kids, and there'll be this whole legacy in glory. How amazing it will be. And the writer is saying, that's what you should be after. Maybe you've gone after some other things the last few months. You've gotten it twisted. Your spiritual vision has gotten skewed. You've gotten so overwhelmed with the plummeting of the economy or what you thought would be. If that's all your focus has been on, the Lord is saying to you today, hey, listen, there's more to more to all this than just your finances and earthly treasures. In this sense, Esau was the loser and Jacob was the winner. Because he went after those things that tied him to the Messiah. And I'd give you that encouragement today too, Mom and Dad. This isn't just about you. I know that we have that old nature that wants us to think it is. But you got an influence over your kids. They're not even yours, by the way. And some of you want to hear that today and some of you don't. If they're real little, you're like, no, those are my babies. If they're a little older, you're like, yeah, they ain't mine. Depends how they are right now. But you're just steward over them. I'm just steward. They're on lend. They're on lease from the Lord for us to do what? To raise them and shape them into the image that he's designed them to be. So leave them a legacy in Jesus. Even if you don't get to see their commitment to Christ, know that you did everything that you could to impart to them the truth of the gospel. Because that's where winning is found. God, I pray over your people this morning. I feel like there's so many words that you've spoken and that you want to speak, and I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful, God, for how multi-headed your word is. How many avenues, Lord, that we can go down. If time wasn't constraining us, God, we can go so many ways with this. Your word is so alive. It's so deep. It's so rich. It's inexhaustible, God. And so is your mercy and your grace. Like Paul said to the church in Ephesus, it will take all of eternity to learn of those things. We're going to be learning of you, Lord, for all of eternity in awe. We think we know you. We don't know you. We don't know you like we think we know you. There's so much of you that we can't know till we see you, till we're with you, till we behold you, till you reveal it to us. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the majesty, the glory, the splendor of our Savior. Lord, but what we know, we love. What we've tasted, we've thoroughly enjoyed. And we're so thankful for this one meal. Lord, this one meal that we can come to today, this supper that you instituted for us, to remember you, to celebrate you, to have our hearts cleansed. There's something, Lord, about these tangible, items, God, that are in our hands. There's something about this piece of bread and this juice that speaks to us. You knew that. That's why you designed it. And we hold it this morning, Lord, just with thankful hearts. As believers in you, this is for believers in you. And as believers in you, our hearts are sober. We're so thankful, God, that months of a mess can be undone and washed away at just one supper with you of confession and repentance. How amazing. Unlike Esau, Lord, we're not seeking a blessing right now. We're just seeking to get our hearts right. And then blessings will come. So church, go ahead and, if you didn't already, pull back that first layer of plastic and go ahead and take out the piece of bread. Let it speak to you. Let it talk to you for a minute in that, not being mystical and strange, just like Jesus said, you take, you eat, this is my body that was broken for you. It's not his literal body, but it speaks of his body. How his body as the Son of God was slain for our sins. How his body who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. I think that we're too fast as Americans. Got to slow down for a minute. I mean, look at this piece of bread. I know one pastor in Oregon who chews, every time he takes communion, he takes the bread and he chews it 40 times, 39 times, just in effort to just think on mentally the lashes that Christ endured from the Roman cat of nine tails when he was whipped and beaten before he bore that cross down the Via Dolorosa to Calvary's Hill, to Gordon's Hill. And, for some of you, maybe that's what you got to do. You're too nonchalant about it. You're just too routine with it. That's why we stop doing it scheduled. We get so routine, we want to make everything religious. Just tell me the date, tell me the time. No, God says, let's keep it real. This is my body that was broken for you. Let it speak to you, the love of Christ. Let the tables be turned. No more let the old man run all over you. The new man. Feed the new man. And you only have a chance to do that because of his body that was broken. So go ahead and partake, if you'd like, of the bread. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus, we know that apart from the shedding of your blood, there is no remission of sins. God, that's got to become more than a scripture we just spit out. We can't just recite things intellectually, mentally, Lord, and verbally and think that that is enough and it will have its effect. Lord, let it take root right now. We know that there can be no putting away of sins except it be for the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that can make us whole again. There's nothing else. There's no other healing agent that is out there. There's nothing within that we can find and draw from to be overcomers of our sin nature. We were destined for hell till you, Jesus, stepped in our path and revealed yourself to us. There's nothing else that can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that can make us whole again. No matter how little the sin or how great the sin, his blood is enough. And the reason, church, that his blood is enough is because his life is in the blood. It speaks of his life. It's not strange. It's not bizarre. It speaks of the life of Christ that was poured out for us. And it's only his life that can save you, because it was only his life that was sinless. A sinner can't save a sinner. Think this through. If you're a skeptic here today, I sense there's skeptics. If you're here today and you're scrutinizing and criticizing, listen, let me tell you something. Sinners can't save sinners. Only the sinless Son of God, who's fully God and fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, who walked this earth and lived a life here for 33 years and never sinned, only he can lay down his life for the sins of the world. Only he who knew no sin can become sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. He appreciates your efforts, I believe. He's thankful that your heart wants to do good, and you should. But it is not predicated upon your behavior, your salvation. It is predicated upon your belief system in the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's what we celebrate today. We don't sit here and say, oh God, that's ridiculous. There's only one way. We stop and we say, oh God, thank you that there is a way. Thank you that there is the truth. And thank you that there is the life that is found in Jesus. And that's why we hold this juice up. That's why we say what we say, that our sins can't be washed away except it be for his blood that was poured out. So Jesus, we thank you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.